Right. Praise the Lord. We are here yet once again. Even as we continue with the conversation on spirit life. Right? So we keep on journeying on the same. It's part of what we are measuring on, at least for a while now. So even we continue in the same, we build up on the same conversation, even as the Lord keep on tarrying with us and helping us to navigate these spaces. We continue with our 30 days of prayer fest. I know some of you don't know even which day are we. Which day are we? You see, she doesn't know. Which day are we? Are you sure? Which day? Is he thinking? Which day? You people, we've been praying. If you cannot master the date or the day, how will you master the direction? I'm telling you, I know. I know not all of us are praying. I know. And you see, the good thing is that I will not push anybody. It was a window that was opened, and all men were to enter into the same. So you must decide to tarry in the same. Right? Yes. You must decide to tarry in the same. There are directions given, 7 of them. Right? Right now we have consumed nearly half of it. And by tomorrow we enter half of this phase. So some of you don't know that tomorrow is day 15. So we literally are eating the half of it. But some of you have missed it. Because what happened from day one is part of the whole build-up that must be for the coming days. Now, if you check those prayer directions, they are a bit organized to flow in a particular way. Now, that flow is to attain something. If you are going to miss it, then I'm telling you before the Lord, don't miss even a day, because when you see the Lord become so specific on some things and he says, I want people to do this thing for this number of days, it means that every single day counts. This isn't a spontaneous prayer. It's a very dictated prayer with instructions. So if you miss one day, it means that you have literally not fixed that puzzle, because that puzzle shall be fixed when you complete the assignment of each and every day. So how many times do you labor? Sometimes we give simple instructions in church, and we wait upon you to bring yourself in that space and then enter it. But in most cases we miss it, because sometimes we take these things just on festival. So we lose the meat of it. Normally when God plans for seasons, the meat is in a man entering that space and begin to do excavation. So as long as you keep on digging that space, now you come to realize that what was the intent that Jesus had for you. You get that? Alright. Some of you don't know what to pray for. But go to God, which direction are we? Are you sure? So now if you're praying in the line of intimacy, then some of you are tempted. That is it. We are doing intimacy, but I have something urgent to pray for. So I decide I'll pray for intimacy for 5 minutes. Then the rest of the minutes I will labor for that thing. Now she said intimacy. He didn't say pray for your own things. First, I can add this one for me a bit. I feel I'm low. So we say, pray for intimacy. Now that is a different conversation, because sometimes we miss it at that angle. I'd like to caution us to be very careful how we transact as far as the directions are concerned. All right, it's okay. That's good. We have to be very careful, especially on the direction we are taking, as far as this prayer first is concerned. If you say intimacy, don't look at it as if you are wasting your whole time. Now that intimacy is very important, as far as you must enter into something that God has to open you for the next. You may think that what the issues of life are so important than that intimacy. So you begin to abandon the place of intimacy and you begin to pray for a lot of foolish things. Let me call them foolish, because they are not for the direction. So if they're not for direction, everything outside that space is foolish. Some of you have entered foolishness in the space of prayer, as far as the 30 days of prayer first is concerned. So we begin to labor for intimacy. I'm telling you, if you prayed for something else up outside the prayer direction, I'm telling you, that prayer is a waste. I've said this before the Lord. Me, I know what I'm saying. I'm not here to... Let them begin to thirst for you, hunger for you. That intimacy shall be built. Now, you see, it is still the same direction, but some of you, because we are in too much hurry. Jesus is wasting your time. You're in too much hurry. So you begin to cry, God, may I see your face? Then he said, are you going to hide his face from you? And for a while, you shall tarry in that place. So we say, this one, I have to wait for 7 days, but then on the 8th day, I shall avail myself to him or to her. So you think that the moment you enter the prayer, boom, the Lord came. You see, the Lord knows how to balance the growth of every individual. But if you don't just enter, then you see his face, boom. Their condition set. Now you see this, God has journeyed with Moses for a while. And God and Moses have become so tight that which is of the heart of Moses is of the heart of God. The day that the hour came, that you see, Moses have not labored with the Lord so much. And he said, now this day I have to see you. I have to see you. You have to show me your face. You have to reveal it to me. Even to that extent of their transactions with God, God still had to hide his face away from Moses. What were the necessities that were needed for the Lord to open up himself for Moses? Now it begins to draw you to a place whereby you must understand that there are conditions that are always set for one to meet some extent of God. It's like a merit that you must attain. So though we are of God, God knows there's an exit. If he takes you to, he may lose you. Some of us, sometimes we pray, and then the whole time we decide just to remain silent, not talk too much. Sometimes like I just up in the morning, I don't feel like talking anymore. I just feel like I need to be silent. There's a place you enter in him that the transaction becomes so heavy that you have no energy to communicate so much. It begins to kill the flesh conversation. And then the spirit dominates. So you can be silent in the physical, but a lot is going on in the spirit. How does God speak to man? It's until a man begins to pay attention to him, that man can begin to listen to the language of God. God begins to speak, but see, a man becomes deaf, not because God made it be deaf, but because they decide by their own means, they shall lock and shut their ears from him. How many times God spoke to some of you here? But you see, the same you shut your ears from him. Because now there's something that entered you. And I feel like, if I begin to pray, God is mandated to answer. So the day you enter, and then, you thought that God has answered it. Say, wait. But you didn't hear wait because deafness has come. So what you think that the Lord was saying? He was not saying it. Okay, now some of you think that the Lord is always for your own good. Sometimes it can be for your own bad. what you think that you want and is good for you, and God, you think that God is mandated forcefully to be part of it, you come to realize that He's not mandated to be part of it. Rather, He's mandated to push into your own goodwill. So what must be good for you is what is now in God is now invested in. But if you are deaf, can't listen. So even in the line of prayer, if you think that the direction God gives is useless, that you need to pay attention to your own desires, then you begin to miss that which is of the will of God. Now, even away outside the 30 days of prayer fest, there are some of you that we have begun to pray, then God begins to give direction. That you see, at this hour, I want to pray on this thing. Major labor for this. Labor for this. But now see, oh, you may think, oh, these are things, this is my own intrusion. This is my own conversation. But yet the Lord is speaking. Your direction has come, and a witnessing within your spirit begin to guide you in that path of that prayer direction. But you see, because you are having your own desires in life, you begin to suppress that which the Holy Ghost is trying to guide you into. Then what happens next is that you make a prayer for 2 hours, for 3 hours, but there's no result, because that prayer was, you are just laboring, but there's no fruit in it. Because every labor is supposed to bring harvest. So you can labor and miss the harvest. Oh, thank God, you'll not be the first person. Because even farmers labor and the rain disappears. Then the whole crop are destroyed in the farm. Maize doesn't come up, nothing happens. So they have lost the whole seeding that they did. So some of you can seed, but then the heavens are shut, so there's no rain. Because you missed the right direction. Be patient with the Lord. Be patient. Be patient. Now, tomorrow we enter day 15. Be patient with the Lord. So we continue the speed prayer. Oh, sorry. I think prayer is too much with me now. Speed life, right? Are we there? Now, can we meet up in the same conversation? Thank you. God always desires that every man should be able to understand Him and get the place of engaging Him. But you see, sometimes we have, there's a lack of zeal to begin to see the movements of God in our lives. When it comes as a spirit, in that context it comes as the spirit, or what called the spirit of the Lord. Now when it comes as the spirit of the Lord, it comes purposefully that He may begin to interact with His own. Now, God in His capacity will begin to, He begins to come diverse in His operations, which means that to some extent He may be a warrior in that conversation, which means that that time He begins to speak the language of battle, vengeance, and all these aspects. So you might approach Him, but find Him that in that state, to your life or for your own sake, is now in a different personality, in a different character, which is the God of war. Now, at that time, you begin to speak about vengeance. Now, you come to Him, but don't understand that. You see, the one I'm meeting now is not the one that I came from. Oh, so begin to miss that context, because now there's a bit of friction as far as interaction with God is concerned. Because now you came just to pray for that job, and you come to ask God for that job. Then for that time, God was laboring for you so much as a warrior. So now, because you missed it, because He knew that if that battle is not won, even the job you're trying to pray for cannot be sustained. So He knows. So now you came and you found Him in a different character. Now that's why now the Spirit of the Lord comes in. Because now the Spirit of the Lord begins to guide you into the very essence of God, that whenever you approach Him, you'll find Him in the right state of your own interaction. So you come to Him, and you see, by the Spirit of the Lord, you are guided. It's part of the guiding. That's why we speak of the Lord. Now it's part of your own spirit that He shall come and dwell in. It is the spirit of every man that the Lord dwells in it. Now the reason why God had to create you to be like Him. Now do you know, among all the creatures, it is you that was created in His own image? Okay, how do I put this? Now, okay, among all the creatures, it is you that found you see, all the creatures are made in the originality, but for you, you are made in a copy. You are like a copy of something. So man was not original, but this creature was not original. It was a copy that was made. Say, let us now create man in our own image and likeness. It didn't say, let us create goats. Let us create what? elephants in our own image. No, all these other things were created out of their own originality. It means that there was a design for giraffes, a dog, and that dog was created in that design. Now, when it comes to man, there was no design for man. The only design was there. So you are almost out of existence. All these other things were not existing before. Image of themselves, but for you, you see, you are made out of a copy of one who was already existing. Now that's how strange it is. Out of all the creatures, then what the Lord did now, he has to make sure that, you see, that which he is, he has to make to become the same. Now, do you know God is not physical yet? You are physical. Now, by that reason, he had to make you to be physical, because no spirit literally is allowed to operate on earth. Now, by now, you should be knowing that no spirit is allowed to operate on earth. That's why, even how, however much God is so supreme, the Holy Ghost cannot come and begin now to invade the human species carelessly. You know that. Now, the Holy Ghost cannot come and say, I will enter the marketplace and I will invade the marketplace. As the women sell, I will enter to them. They will speak in tongues. No. However much supreme God is so controlled, because earth, the summer, you get one, how did this one end up? Because there's a different taste in the eyes of everyone. Now that was one of the designs that God has to put. Now, so God had to take the material, which is the earth, and just punch. It was like putting unto his own image, unto his own image. Now that's happened. That happened in what, chapter 2, verse 7. So you have to place it unto his own image. So you see that means all. Now, can we say that in the realm of the spirit you have no face? No. You see, the way you are looking at, you see this face, that is your face in the spirit. So don't expect an angelic face in the spirit. The only thing that can be angelic and even beyond angelic is the glory of God upon your life. That is there. Normally, when people who have eyes in the spirit sees you, physically just look the same the way you look. But see, when they look at you and they have the eyes in the spirit, you are your embodiment in the spirit, which is your spirit aspect, is so glorious. So you see, when they look at you, they don't see you in the physical, but they see your spirit. So when they see at you, they will look at your spirit, they will see strangeness in it. Now they know that this one is not to be touched. A man can begin to see the glory of God in your life, without so much drama. That I see fire in your head, I see what over your body. No, they can begin to see that glory without you speaking too much. But there are those people who have eyes, and that's why you need to learn to pray, because that one is not for special people. You need to pray that God should open your eyes always to begin to see that which is of the spirit. So those who can see in the spirit, which means if they have the eyes to see by sight, what they will see so much is the spirit. So in the realm of the spirit, there's always illumination that differs. Now some illuminate in light, some are engrossed in gross darkness. So now this can be seen by the spirit eyes. So when a man looks at you like this and you are full of the glory of the Lord, they might not see it in your physical body, but see, they will see it also in your spirit. The first communication that comes, and you must pray for that, is that your spirit must begin now to be identified in that glory before that glory can even access your own body. So you can be so glorious. Now that glory must be seen. So if they can see you, they begin to see your spirit. So your spirit begin to communicate a lot of things. So when the Holy Ghost comes, when the Lord comes, the first place he shall settle in is your own spirit first. Now it's the one that begins to make your spirit to become in that state of glory. It means that if warfare must arise, men don't fight warfare by the flesh concept, but they fight the warfare by the spirit concept. Which means that according to the tools of battle you are having in the spirit, is what shall determine how that battle shall go. So the direction of that battle is dependent on the spiritual materials. You see that now we wrestle against fire and blood. It's the concept of the physical. Now, apart from flesh and blood, that is, we rest not, the rest of the things are spirits.
So it's according to the material construct of the spirit. That ability must be in the spirit. So you are waiting for that ability to be found in the physical. So you can be too loose in the physical, but you see, in the spirit there's a lot of ability and stamina. So you are energized by the coming of the Lord within your own spirit. Now, if when the Lord comes to your own spirit, what happens is that your spirit and he becomes one. By now you should be knowing that. So when your spirit and his spirit becomes one, now that means that whatever now has to go forth from that moment is that his spirit is what shall dominate the whole transaction, because you have become him and he has become you. So when people begin to identify the glory in you, it's not because of your own doings, but because they come in. Right. Now you see why God was so serious and said that let us make man now in God image and likeness, because he knew. Now can we say that Adam was what? Was lonely. They can say that Adam was lonely in the garden. And some of the things that you think that because there was no woman, you think that Adam was so lonely. You see, Adam was alone, but not lonely. You have to know that. That's why to God he wanted a helpmeet for him, because he was alone. Because I would think that, see, if you're alone, you can die. No. Do you know there are people who have been lonely their entire life, and then the day the Lord took them home, they never died. They were just okay. They're alone. Some of you push so much. You want to have friends. You want to have people around you. Because you have the pressure of life. Or you must have company. Oh, okay. And some of you have pressure so much that when you die, they come and bury you. When you have a wedding, they come and contribute and attend. When you have what? Birthday, they send you gifts. You see, there's something that must begin to crash within a man. If that thing is not crashing, then you have to know that something else is being stabilized. Now that's what makes to be so sensitive to the matters of the flesh than the things of the spirit. One thing that happens is that God enters your spirit, but nevertheless, he has to find a way to enter your own flesh, because now he's so dominant in your spirit. He has to find a way to enter your flesh that he may begin to break. It's a crashing of the systems that there be, that begin to deny the Lord entrance, begin to influence you in that capacity. Yeah. So you begin to destroy. It's a crashing of those systems, because he knows, one thing about the flesh, the flesh is so much it responds so much on the systems that there be. So it's not something like a spirit. You see, in the realm of the spirit, you don't need so much systems. You just need an activation. Then you shall be found in that space. But you see, for the flesh, as far as activation is concerned, you see, it is systems that are laid that begin to pattern the life of a man in the flesh. So those systems are what drawn ourselves in these systems. And the more we mask ourselves in, you may think that this is the way to do life. So you begin to fall that way. That life can only be done by this pattern. So as long as you follow that pattern, you think that that's how life is done. Because some of you know that God told you no. Some of your friends brought you into it. Families brought you into it. Cultures and traditions brought you into it. Now what happens next? That you begin to oblige and follow. As long as you follow it, you're sustaining it. Then the culture of what you're following begin now to make effect into you. By that effect, it means transformation has begun. So it means that any place you shall be, your flesh shall begin to yearn for something that is not of God, yet is of man, that makes sense to you as a flesh, as a man of the flesh. Spiritual will not make sense. That's why the language of God never makes sense to men that are so much invested in the flesh. Now, how do we make the impact in that flesh concept? We must allow the spirit to enter our own flesh and begin to culture us. To culture us. See, until you are cultured, there's a place you cannot enter. That's why we are all being drawn in that space whereby we must be cultured. All right? It means that if until you are cultured, there's a way of life you cannot accept or you cannot follow. So even the life of God that we proclaim, that we know, it's one thing to receive him and that thing to be cultured. So when now a caution is coming, and Paul is literally cautioning the church in Rome that do not be conformed. Because he knew that if they shall be cultured according to the dictates of the world, then these men shall be lost away from the tracks of Jesus. So that's one of the principal assignment that the Holy Ghost also came for. That he may begin to culture this man. Now that was the context of the help ministry of the Holy Ghost to a man. That you may be cultured in the ways of God. That you begin to flow in that which is of him, right? Then you begin to count that which is of God in all angles. You know, you are cultured. The language is of God. The way you do life is of God. The way you reason, everything is of God. So you must be cultured. So it is not just enough just to receive Jesus and just say, I have received Jesus. Oh, you by you receiving Jesus, you shall go to heaven. And that's automatic. But see, before heaven, Jesus must be seen on earth. You must begin to behold him in your life. It is the Jesus in you that men must see. We see sometimes we don't. Okay. Now, if you go to some extent and you begin to understand the things of darkness, how diabolical men do their things, you will understand that, you see, most of the time they don't announce themselves by words. They announce themselves by their own doings. It's a part of where they have come from. They have got their own dealings that have matured them in mastery of the one that they submitted themselves to. So the only way to make you submit to what they represent is that they have to showcase of what authority that the one that they submit to has. Now in that context, they begin to do something, and they point a man, that man turns into a chicken. They carry that chicken home. Everybody will say, this man is so bad. Now every glory shall be given that darkness. So see now how diabolical begin to thrive, because they have expressed their own power before you. So while Jesus is so silent, Jesus is only in the mouth of men, but not in the action of men. You think that the Holy Ghost just came that he may just have stories with you? If you're being captured, means that you're being captured to be like God by operation. So that wisdom of him must begin to find a way into you. It's a call that begins to come. That all men are being called to begin to understand the ways of the Spirit of the Lord. By knowing that way, then the ways of the Lord shall be open to us. It's a caution that Paul again begins to draw by teaching the church in Corinth. Okay, can you give me 1 Corinthians quickly? The one that you people know, chapter 2, verse, beautiful verse 9. Quickly. We shall do it up to verse 13. We have read it before, but it's written, I has not seen. Okay, are we here? But as it is written, I has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into. Why whispering? Can you read? Or can I shock you? I want to shock you. Okay, so now read this. I want to shock you. So neither has it entered the heart of a man. That's what the things which God has prepared. For them that love you. So how do you calculate that love? Because now that these things, you see that the things that is the man. Now there are things that means that now you have to partner with the Holy Ghost. Okay, don't go that side. Now keep moving. Now, so those are that love him. All those things that has not been captured in the frequency of any existence shall be given unto them, because he has prepared this. Now you see, he has prepared them. Oh, it's one thing to give and then to prepare. So he has prepared them. So it's by the unlock, the love of God, that you unlock the things that he has prepared for you. Okay, that's a story for another day. Now keep moving, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now look at that. He has revealed them to us.
by what? His spirit. So the question is, what is that thing within a man that has the capacity to begin to communicate to the Lord that these revelations can be given and they know that they have been given? Because the mind of man is only set or positioned to understand the things of man. That's why if the things of God can access the mind, I'm telling you, that mind will run mad. So it's not, that's why you see that the things of God cannot be reasoned by the mind of man. It's a mind of the spirit that has the ability and the potency to carry this kind of arguments. So the mind of a man is only designed to carry and flow in sanity as long as you feed it the things of man. So it cannot reason the things of God. You don't receive God by reason. It is way beyond reason. If it is about reasoning, I'm telling you, so many people should be born again today. Because you go and evangelize to them, you sit down with them, you teach them word by word, but none of them comes to salvation still. Because they have been bounded in their own spirits. And conviction comes in their own spirits. However much convinced they cannot help. So it's about how about you reason with your mind that you engage God. That's why if you understand God so much, you get to know that if you reason so much with your mind, you will miss God. You will miss it. That's why you must begin to understand and learn how to reason and flow in the spirit. It's by that baseline that has been set. That when a man begins to meet God, they must meet God at the point of the spirit reasoning. It is the mind of the spirit. That's why the carnal mind is unto death. But the spirit mind has what? Life and peace. It is part of the whole thing. That this flesh you are given, the only thing that can understand the language of your flesh is your mind. Oh, okay. If you can position your mind for Jesus, I'm telling you, even your own flesh will begin to hunger for Jesus. But your flesh has been said that it must begin to hunger for the things that are incubated in the normal mind of a man. Is a carnal concept that begins to function. Now, anything that is carnal, what must be produced in that space is carnal. Okay, have you not seen smart people yet? They have no glory. Oh, there are people that have, you see, if by books they are approved. If by experience they are approved. If by the perfection of life they are approved. But yet their life is not showing. Because there's something that must be added as an ingredient to be able to control every spirit in every domain so that you can be able to succeed even by that experience and by that scholarly knowledge. These things begin to weigh upon every man. If you think by your own mind, you will miss God. You say that now that God has revealed them. It's a knowledge that came. And when that knowledge came, the eyes were opened. So it was revealed. Isn't that? To us by His Spirit. It was not just revealed to every man, to us. Now, to us means that in that verse 9, the last line, that them that what? Love Him. Now, you see in verse 10, now there's an exposition. Now, who are these that love Him? Say, to us. So to us, He has revealed these things by His. Now, did He reveal it by your mind? Say, by His Spirit. And I've told you that the Spirit of the Lord does not associate with the physical, with the flesh or with the physical. It associates with the Spirit. Which means that if that revelation must come, it must come in the space of the Spirit. Do you know how powerful people are? These things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Oh, no heart of any man has comprehended these matters. For what the Lord has
prepared for them that love him, which is you. Now it means that if now you are being revealed to unto these things, you are so unstoppable, nothing can be able to stand upon you. Now, you know, you can begin to control atmospheres where you are. There are potential abilities that God gives that you can stand up there and begin to control the whole atmosphere. And I'll tell you that you have to be so careful when that happens, because loopholes can be created, and the enemy can find their way to corrupt what you are trying to build. So every man is powerful, but see, loopholes can come. This can be the desires of life. The atmosphere is so created and so beautiful, then the desire of life just hit. Boom. Then, as long as you sustain that desire, you begin to corrupt the old thing. So though you are powerful, but something is blocking the old thing to flow. Because the rivers must flow. But see, same rivers can be blocked. A rock can be formed that I cannot see, right? If you tell me now to sing, I will not sing. But see, I always sing. You see, I went back to listen to my ministration, the one that I always do spontaneous, and I find myself, I was so moved by those ministrations, the spontaneous of flowing. I felt like rivers were just gushing forth. One time I was just sitting down at night, then I had to put some of this in session. There's a clip the media sent to the group. So it was for one spontaneous worship that I did a while back. So I put the earphones then. I was just there. I didn't even take 1 minute into that ministration. I was already carried in a certain place, and they all began to take me to a journey. I realized that, see, those are not just ministration, they're spirits. Okay, let me explain to you what normally happens. So who was given, who was in charge of lifting up worship in heaven? Like by songs, by psalms, who was that? Lucifer. Now, do you know, however much you may think that the devil can still do all these things, do you know the Holy Ghost took that ability that Lucifer had, and by that the Holy Ghost can place it in every man, then that man can lift the same sound that was being lifted before the throne, and you can journey in that space that used to be created by sound, and you move. You see, now, so the ability that Lucifer used to have, the Holy Ghost carried and is placing it in every man, that you can release your own chants, your own sounds, and enter that space. So some of you think, oh, Lucifer took it, so we have not, we don't have, no! Now, even the songs of darkness, do you know, most of them don't just hit because they have good voices. They hit because there's a spirit controlling them. Now, there are some useless songs that you people listen to. Okay, not you, people are born again. So there's those useless songs that people listen to. Very useless. You try to locate what this person is singing, but it's very useless. But everybody's dancing it, everybody's singing it, everybody's listening to it. It was not about the sound or the beauty of the vocal. Start killing yourself here. But that music, my worship has to have a music. If there's no music, there's no worship. No. You can worship in chants. Chants are not music, it's a sound. Oh. Because I was thinking, I have to sing one song. So what do they say? Okay, give us one song before we enter prayer. So create an atmosphere by worship. Then they sing one old song that has lost glory. Then forcefully have to force ourselves into prayer, right? Yes. Now you see, there are places that you have to enter and they have to sing first. Now that time is when the keyboard is now confused more than everything. So I waited for keyboard for 5 minutes to set those ding ding. Then the keyboard is forget that you have been told to give us worship. Then it gives some sounds for praises. Say no, keyboard is go back. It's worship. Because you're waiting. One person told me that day that for her she cannot sing unless there's an instrument or there's a sound. So instruments must be played before she can sing. So I knew that God was not in that ministration. If your own ministration and your time with God must be controlled by things, God is not there. That's how some of us control these things. You want to pray at night, you see you cannot enter that realm until you put worship songs. Without them, you feel like you're dry. Some of you, these songs are not just because they create atmosphere for you. No, they pull up your emotions. Now, if the only way you can pray is that you have to be enhanced to pray, then you have a problem. You are still very far. Because prayer is by default, it's supposed just to flow, right? It means that we need to make it a lifestyle. Anyway, you can pray. Okay, was John, James, John, and Peter singing as they worship with Jesus on the mountain? Anytime they go to the mountain to pray, were they singing present worship? Okay, well, Jesus singing first of all his own worship song. You are the Lord that he led thee. Now, you see, even the worship song, you is have a problem. The Lord that he led thee, and you want to enter that dimension of prayer. But you see, that's how you see, we always pick up any song that makes sense with our emotions. But see, don't wait for music and think that music is worship. No, music is just part of worship. So the Holy Ghost will also give a sound. You see, the same way the Lord gives a sound, or the Holy Ghost gives a sound, even in the place of prayer by groanings, in the same way you give a sound, even the place of releasing utterances, the place of worship. There's a place you cannot enter unless the Holy Ghost purges the way for you. So some of you think that you see, I will just do it myself. However much powerful you are, you must understand how to begin to build up yourself in the ability that is within you. That's the Holy Ghost. So you may be strong by wisdom, you may be strong by experience, by scholarly advancement you may be strong. But see, there's a place you cannot enter because there are spirit governed. So unless you come with a higher spirit, there is no access to it. Now, these things were revealed to us by his spirit. They were not revealed to our carnal minds, but they were revealed to our spiritual minds, which means that there had to be an interaction between our spirit and the spirit of the Lord. So by that, there were deposits that were being released into our own spirits. So we were forging ourselves into it. And the Lord began to draw us by his own revelation that we must see the things that he had prepared for us. It's a place that your spirit must begin to ascend in the class of the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost begin to reveal these things to you. So it's not by the carnal mind that you know the things of God, because the carnal mind can only sustain the things of men. Okay, now let's read it. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. All right, keep on moving. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is what? Now, even so, the things of God knoweth no man. All right, but the spirit of God. Now, in what way can now this man, because if the spirit of man only knows the things of man, so unless the Holy Ghost comes within the spirit of that man, is where now the whole thing changes. Because until the Holy Ghost comes in the spirit of a man, the spirit of a man cannot know the things of God, regardless of how they pray. So you cannot know, because that spirit is now. The major thing is to change, first of all, your nature. That your nature has to be God first, then God begin to move in the space of your own life. Now, what happens that when the spirit of world cometh, it doesn't focus on building your nature first. He focuses on pulling you away on what can stabilize you. Oh, now it begins to push you into the concept of vanity. All the things that are of vanity is what your attention and hunger is drawn into. So the things of the spirit will no longer make sense to you, but the things of life, yet it is controlled by a spirit. So what the spirit of life does, that it will control you, but you're not controlled to think of the things of the spirit, because there's a possibility that if you are focused in that side, in darkness, it is so possible for you to come to represent the world, and the Spirit of God come to what? To represent God. So every spirit is coming that their own may be known. So the influence shall be based on the subject matter. And that subject matter is whereby their submission is what they represent. So one represents God, the other one represents the world. You must choose wisely. Now Paul is saying, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, in that concept, you know, he was not speaking about personalities first. He was speaking about nature identity. The first one was the world, which is carnality. The second one was God, which is spirituality, that concept. He was speaking about two things. Now, before, that's the spirit that which is of. He didn't say the spirit of the Lord. He said the spirit which is of God. He was speaking about the nature first identity. One is a different nature than the other. So says, now the spirit we received is not representing that the nature of carnality of darkness, but the one we received represents the nature of life that is of God. So this one that we received is the spirit that is of God. The nature kind of the spirit is God. Then the nature kind of the spirit of the world is wild. And all of them must begin to force and pull every man to their side. Look at that. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So every man is still in their own ignorance until the Spirit of the Lord reveals to us these things. So when the Holy Ghost cometh, he cometh and settles within your own spirit and powers your spirit. So he's not coming to your mind. He's coming to your spirit. Now by your own spirit, now you can begin to forge your way out. The things of the spiritual realms are so deep, until you associate with one, you cannot survive. And the one you associate with has to be so strong than the others. Now see, both which are coming are spirits. Both of the world and both of God, they are all spirits. And they are hungry, their thirst is you. They are coming for you. It means that every transaction that we are doing in this life, because you are a spirit, that's why every spirit is already fighting to own you. So our battle is of the spirit. Before we can measure on the physical, the battle first must begin from what? The spirit. So from that spirit realm, then we begin to forge ourselves in the abundance of Jehovah. He said, the things we are freely given to us of God, these things can be seen by the spirit, but they can be lived in the flesh. The revelation can be brought by the spirit of the Lord, but you see, the expression, the life of it will be expressed in the physical, that all men may see the glory of the Lord, because your spirit has all things. Oh, now do you know your spirit needs nothing? Okay, let me help you. Your spirit needs nothing, because your spirit already has all things, and that is God. So what is your spirit lacking? Nothing. All fullness has been attained in your spirit. So you don't need anything in your spirit. Anything that you may need in the spirit has been given. All fullness. I've given you a business. As you are praying for God, you are not aligned. That's why you have not known what direction is taking you. Oh! God, give me money for food. Oh, what if he had called you to pray and fast for 3 days? But because you didn't catch it, he has to force you to enter into it. But even at that, you will not see that he has still, he's in direction. You will just see that you are sleeping hungry. That God has failed to provide. What if? Now you are not aligned to understand that language. Yes, he has called you to pray. So that time, that whole season, you don't feel like doing anything, you just feel like praying. You are in office, you are praying. You are on the road, you are praying. You are in the house, you are praying. Everything about you are in that prayer. The atmosphere being built is an atmosphere of prayer. He called you for that. But see, even at that, you are still fighting it, yet it's so evident that you need to enter to it. But you are still fighting it, because you are yet to be aligned. So all these have been given, but we cannot see them until we align to him. There's a wake up call that His Spirit begins to push us in. How well are you mastered of His ways? How well? How do you know His own language? If Jesus speaks, can you know that Jesus spoke? So the Holy Ghost begins to amplify the language of God within every man. By your spirit, you begin to catch the language of the Holy Ghost. So you must learn to spend time with Him. Sometimes you're too much hurry. You're too much hurry. We're too much hurry. That even the prayer that God's direction, you don't feel like, no. We're too much hurry. Sometimes he calls us and say, oh, come, come. Let's have a conversation. Then say, you, keep quiet. But because they, oh, God has called me, you, the only thing you think is I have to pray in tongues. You say, keep quiet. Then he begins to pour himself into you. It's because we are not yet attentive to you. Some of you can realize that you will understand that there are so many times that the Holy Ghost has tried to pull you into His fold to build up a conversation. But every time that happens, you drift away. You drift away. People struggle in life, not because of foolishness, but because of their lack of understanding that gap that must be filled. The Holy Ghost has beckoned, but none can listen. How intimate can we be? How intimate can we be? That the spirit life will begin to make sense. These are things that we can build up unless we are help of the Lord. He said that we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. So all these things have been revealed, but can our eyes see? Even as we build on intimacy today, one thing we tell God, give me sight to see, sight to see, sight to see. Again, sight to see, sight to see. That sight carries revelation. That sight carries depth. That sight carries communications. Give me sight to see. Give me sight to see. Have I missed it, Jesus? Give me sight to see. Sight to see.